Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
God is so amazingly good to us, and we would that you would also hear a lot of the gifts that we are blessed enough to really hear just about every day, right, Ms. Barbara?
Wow, that's the truth. God has really opened doors before City on a Hill radio show and just blessed above what we could ask or even imagine. And you know, we learn so much from those who join us on this radio show, and we're so thankful to God for that.
Oh, indeed, Ms. Barbara, and it's really just amazing. And I think, too, I was reading something or hearing somebody say something about the Bible. You know, it is for instruction. It is not just for knowledge, to have knowledge, but it is instruction. So we need to really go beyond just listening. An instruction to me is a tool to help you act, you know, and do things. And so I'm just really excited, Ms. Barbara, at the many guests that we have had. But today is our day to kind of, I think, you know, kind of look really in awe at what God has been doing, and I know it has changed my heart, and just, you know, it's just overflowing with joy at, you know, the things that God has shown me personally. But we always like to give the show over, inviting the Lord to be the master of it, because we're really just his willing servant. We know that we owe everything to him. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Ms. Barbara. We always speak such words of wisdom and history, and of course give it to him to start us off.
Well, thank you, Diana. And you know, sometimes I'm able to share a little bit of history before it kind of leads us into prayer. And today is May 14th, and it was in 1948, midnight, that the State of Israel came into being and was immediately recognized by the United States. In fact, 11 minutes after Israel declared her independence, President Harry S. Truman recognize the new Jewish state. And, you know, God's, he orders our steps, and he so beautifully arranges things. I was thinking about this, Diana, how different it would have been had Franklin Delano Roosevelt still been president. But he wasn't. He had died, and the newly added vice president, Harry S. Truman, was there for this hour. And God had worked in his heart and brought this about. And I'm just so grateful to the Lord. You know, he does order our steps. And the Bible says, in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our steps. And it was early in 1949 that the chief rabbi of the new state of Israel made a special visit to the White House to thank President Truman for that prompt recognition. And he told President Truman that it was among the high points of Jewish history. Now, think about that. One of the high points of Jewish history? But indeed it was. But, I mean, think about all the high points in Jewish history. But the chief rabbi, yeah, I mean, we're talking many, many high points in Jewish history. The rabbi told President Truman that God put you in your mother's womb so that you could be the instrument to bring about the rebirth of Israel after 2,000 years. And, of course, it was, as was prophesied in the Bible, that God would bring them from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west back to their homeland that he established for them. And, of course, right after they declared, Israel was attacked the next day by the Transjordanian army, the Arab Legion, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq, and against all odds, Israel survived because God Almighty ordained it. Let's thank him together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you desire that we would know what you have done throughout our history, that you would really like for us to have knowledge of Father, your wonders, the wonders you have performed. And, Father, we know but just a little bit. But everything we learn, Father, about your hand upon us, your hand in our history, Lord, it just makes us want more, want to know more about your doing, Father. And I pray, Father, that as anyone hears this, Father, and that they will be encouraged, Father, and inspired to search for themselves, Lord, these wonderful things that you have done in our nation and in the world, Father, throughout all of history. We thank you, Father, for raising up President Truman for that hour to recognize the rebirth of Israel after those many, many years of exile, Father, from their land, that land that you gave them, O God. And you said it was perpetual. It was, you were giving it that land to them, Father, forever, forever. And you brought them back to it, Father. And, oh, Lord, what a demonstration of your faithfulness. And Father, that what you speak is true. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that all of us would just delve deeper and deeper into your word, and that you would reveal more and more of yourself to us, Lord, so that, Lord, we can be those instruments right here on earth, taking action, Father, where you want us to, Lord, and being in that place where you can move and you can do and you can accomplish, and that we would be your hands and your feet. And, Father, your arms of love, arms of support, Lord, for your people. That we could be your ears, Father, that we could hear the cry of the lost and the poor and the oppressed and the hurting, O God. That we would be your ears. And, O Lord, that we would respond. Lord, that we would be your mouth, that we could speak those words of life. Lord, that you would speak through us, Lord, to bring life where there was no life, Lord, eternal life in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you are God. You are our God. You are our Father, O Lord. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Ms. Barbara. Ms. Barbara, you know, title today's show, which I just really, you know, put it on kind of late because we, you know, for some reason I did not have a special guest today. What can you do when you care? And, you know, you spoke about that. You know, we do care, just as Christ cared. And he's a perfect example of caring. And, you know, it is so amazing at how things have been turned around. Things that really show you care are not perceived as non-caring. You know, you are close-minded. You are not open, all including the homosexuals. You know, you're very closed. And also the things that is done to the poor that's supposedly very helpful to the poor, you know, open up the gate to the welfare, you know, is, you know, something that is really not good is being
seen.
What,
Diana? Can we just pause there for just a moment? Because for just a moment, you know, the thought occurred to me as you were talking about open up the welfare rolls and the all of that. You know, that is so restrictive to human beings that are so beautifully designed by God with such capacity to achieve, and to confine them to welfare, the crumbs, I think of it as crumbs, compared to what they can, each one of us can achieve in the Lord and achieve, you know, on this earth, here in America particularly, where we have the opportunity to do so. And, you know, welfare is not a real gift. It's kind of like leftovers and, you know, and also it's, I've read where, you know, the more it's given, the more dependency is, you know, the more dependent people become on it, and how it just squelches any initiative, any desire to really succeed and do great things, you know. And so, you know, welfare is not it's not really such a gift, is it?
No, and I think, Ms. Barbara, you know, I love to ask God for a word, and I love it when God's word just jumps out at you. And I'm looking at Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Jesus restores sight to a blind man. And I think that is the key. I heard a powerful preaching this weekend from my pastor who, you know, to most the world would probably say is very politically incorrect. You know, he did not hold anything back. Everything that the Bible says, you know, he says and declares, and you know, it's the kind of sermon that should make people think, because we are not promised tomorrow. And, it, you know, even though it was a Mother's Day weekend, really, you know, I think in honor of God and what mothers mean to a lot of people, again, he points it back towards, you know, Christ. And he just wove it really beautifully, you know. And like I said, it was not politically correct. But then I think of, you know, in today's time, Ms. Barbara, mothers are really fighting the politically incorrect in order to keep the family together. You know, that's why you and I speak, I think, you know. We would that we didn't have to speak,
yeah,
you know, and even have a radio show. But I think I know you have such a love for your family, and I do too. And it's like, you know, you cannot be silent and let the truth not be heard. And that's what we're about. And Jesus restores sight to a blind man. And I'm hoping that's what's fixing to happen, Miss Barbara, because I'm so excited. I titled today, What Can You Do When You Care? Well, when you care, I think when you care, first of all, you have to speak in truth and in love. And, you know, a lot of people does not want to hear the truth. They just want to hear you say loving things. You know, oh, yeah, we want to welcome everybody. Everybody is going to go to heaven. Isn't that the catchphrase that everybody wants to hear? That there's all sorts of different ways to heaven. But really, because we do care, we have to share with them the truth of the Bible. Because really, that's our only basis. That is the only basis that this world can really go by. Nothing else, you know, can do that. There's no other basis in this world for what's truth except what God's Word has given us. And God is so loving, and He does not want us to perish for lack of knowledge.
You know, what you just said about the truth of God's Word and how that is to be our standard, and we are to evaluate all policies and all ideas based on God's standard that He reveals to us in His Word. And what's different in today's world is that the Bible is no longer recognized as the authority, and God is no longer recognized as sovereign, as the one with all authority. But you know, even when I was a child, so you know, we're talking 50 years ago, more. our society, our culture, was permeated with biblical truth, and you know, we knew. Not only knew more of the Bible than is known in our country today, but we knew about the Bible as well, and we knew the authority of the Bible, that that's where the truth is. And so, you know, that was accepted. So when you were in a debate or in a conversation, if you shared biblical truth in the context in which it was given and for which it applies, it was accepted. It was accepted, and it was, you know, confirmed by everyone, almost everyone. I won't say everyone, but almost everyone of that day. And you know, we're fighting the battle on many fronts, but the fact that the Bible is no longer recognized as the authority makes it ever so much more difficult in this battle.
Oh, indeed, Ms. Barbara. And I wanted to ask you something really about what you were stating about FDR before I even got into this. But if you don't mind, just clarify when you were saying it was really good that it was not FDR but Truman that was at the helm when became a nation.
The choice for Harry Truman to be vice president to FDR in that last election was very unusual and politically motivated, but FDR did not really even recognize Vice President Harry Truman. I mean, he wasn't let in on anything. He had no idea that the atomic bomb that the United States was doing that, preparing that. And you know, there were he just was kept out of everything, and knew nothing about it. But FDR's actions, see, what I'm going by when I made that statement, and I could be wrong, okay, but what I'm going by was the fact that when the Jewish people were looking for political asylum before and during Hitler's assault and massacre of over 6 million of them, they were denied entry. FDR denied entry into the United States by the Jewish people. And some of them, you know, their ships, they were in ships, and their ships were turned back or turned somewhere else. And so that's kind of what I'm basing that statement on. And as I said, I could be wrong, but that was just my kind of what came to me and what I spoke. But you know, Harry Truman was different. God really did prepare him to make this decision. One of his advisors, one of his close friends, a former business partner, was Jewish and had an influence with him. And so, you know, God really worked in President Truman to bring about this decision, recognizing Israel as a nation once again. And that was huge. That was huge. Here we had just come out of World War II. This was 1948. Come out of World War II, a superpower, the superpower in the world. And this superpower recognizes this teeny, teeny, tiny, tiny little state, little nation of Israel. And it was beautiful. It was so beautiful. And that's a moment that we can be proud of and rejoice in it. You know, that pleased God. That pleased the Lord for the United States to do that, you know?
Well, Ms. Barbara, you know, the contrast between FDR, which, you know, a lot of people talk about FDR these days, and but it just, you know, there's such a contrast, and I just simply think about the scripture that whoever blesses Israel will be blessed,
yes,
and whoever curses Israel will be cursed. And evidently Truman understood full well what that meant and what a blessing it was. What a blessing it was. And this is why I think, too, oh, go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Well, something you said prior to that reminded me of a quote that I shared today with one of my students. And by the way, something else reminded me, something you said earlier, you were talking about being doers of the word, not hearers only. You're talking about applying,
yeah,
God's word rightly. And anyway, and I was thinking that in teaching, we must inspect what we expect from students, and we are students of the word. We are pupils. We are God's children, and we're learning of Him as He reveals Himself to us in His word. But as you said, it doesn't stop there. We don't just learn His word for the sake of knowledge, although we are supposed to grow in knowledge, and fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So we're told in various places in Scripture that we are to grow in knowledge of the Lord, but we're to apply that knowledge, and that's where we, you know, I think if we really do have the knowledge, if it's really a heart knowledge as well as a head knowledge, I think we do apply it. But again, you know, in addition to our capacity for greatness, we also have this old sin nature that gets in the way and keeps us many times from achieving that greatness if we let it. And so that we're forgetful, and then sometimes we get on a roll and we do things rightly, and then, you know, get tripped up and falter a bit and all of these things. You know, we're human and we are made of dust, and the Lord remembers that, the Bible says. But you know, we have to, we are expected to act on what we learn from the Lord and to apply it to all of life. And so anyway, when you, that reminded me of that. But
well, I'm really excited about, you know, the fact that, you know, something came up today and you're going to be speaking, you know, at a very important event. And which you've spoke before, and you know, really, this opportunity that God's sending our way, and the listeners, you're probably getting said opportunities. Maybe you're not seeing them as opportunities, but Ms. Barbara, I just really think the movie that Ben Dupre spoke about, which Ben's going to be on again this Wednesday, and he's going to talk more about the movie 180. themovie.com. That movie, along with hearing the conversation that y'all had a couple of weeks ago with Mr. Henry Burke about the Buffett rule, that along with it, and then I saw a video. I really, you know, I'm behind on doing my articles. I always say I'm going to do an article, and I have yet to do an article in a while, but I really need to do one to kind of put my thoughts together, because somebody else may get a glimmer of truth from them too. But the combination of that, the Buffett rule, 180 the movie, and also the little video I saw on Facebook about the Volkswagen Passat that has 78 miles to the gallon, that can get 78 miles to the gallon, has put me in such a quandary, because, you know, it's like it's very, very clear what really y'all have been sharing, that, you know, this is really about control. And we see that with 180 the movie, because in the 180 the movie, and people, y'all need to go to 180themovie.com. And you, for you that have never heard of Hitler, and there were those that they interviewed, you will really get a little view of what one evil man can do when he takes control of a nation. Well, it killed. It killed millions of people. That's what one person can do that, you know, was allowed to have power because he was voted in by Germans. But then, too, Ms. Warren, when you spoke about the Buffett rule, you and Mr. Henry Burke and Mr. Wayne spoke about that, to me and Don Wallen. It was very clear to a simple mind, Ms. Barbara, that we have been had. We are under a brainwashing, a control, and I hate to say it, the news media is for that. We've been seeing that, you know. Now people will just think, oh, no, it can't be. But, you know, what happened in Hitler's Germany is not a figment of the imagination. You can't just say, oh, that can't happen, because unfortunately it has happened before.
But, you know, Diana, as you saw on the movie 180, as you saw very clearly, that knowledge has not been transmitted. The knowledge of that has not been transmitted to today's generation across the board. They are clueless. You saw time after time when Ray Comfort would ask, what do you know about Adolf Hitler? Nobody knew anything. And if they did say they knew something, most of it, the time it was wrong, and they didn't have a clue. And, you know, you talk about the power of one man. It was not just one man that put him there, but, yeah, he did wield all the power. He eventually got all the power, but he did it through the law, through the law. Everything he did was legal, and he enacted law after law after law to accomplish his purposes, not for the good of the people or the good of society or according to a standard, but just the law he wanted to enact and those of like mind with him. But it is the story of the abuse of power. And that's why the founding fathers were so wise when they put together the plan of government. They divided the power. They didn't put all the power into one man's hands or a group of men. They made three branches, fourth if you count state governments, Article 4 of the United States Constitution, because the states themselves were to have most of the power. But the three branches of government that where the power was divided, and there were checks and restraints, I like to call them handcuffs, that each branch of government handcuffs the other branches and only lets them go so far and as far as it is written in the Constitution that they may travel, you know, and that there are to be, according to the Constitution, there are high impenetrable walls between the branches with very express instructions on how those walls are to be not breached, but how it's to be working in a proper system. So that 180 movie is very, very revealing about the ignorance in our world today of history, as David Barton so beautifully admonishes to learn from history, but we're not. And that's what can happen. You know, Karl Marx, the founder of communism, modern communism, had one thing that he got right. One thing. He was wrong about everything else, but he was right about this, Diana. And he said, take away a people's heritage, and they are easily persuaded. Take away a people's history, and you can convince them of anything. You can manipulate them. You can control them. You can do anything you want to them because they have no reference point. They have no understanding of the standards that are to be met and kept. And so, you know, take away a man's heritage, and he is easily persuaded. And we see that played out. We saw it played out in election of 2008.
Well, Ms. Barbara, you know, you almost could really have a template of Nazi Germany and the steps that were taken to turn that nation anti-God. And you could really superimpose a template of today. And there's so many lines that are just almost identical. It is really very clear. And it's really... When I saw that movie and I heard Ray Comfort, you know, talk about, you know, that you know, Hitler developed an anti-religious committee, what I call it, you know, and really, mm-hmm. you know, he made his own Bible,
that's today's,
you know.
United States, isn't it?
Yeah, and then reworded the Ten Commandments, and we just heard that recently, you know, they're trying to make it a Sixth Commandments now. And then also, you know, just think of they were so progressive, you know, all those science and technical innovation that Germany that's going to help the people, but yet it was used to control. And we see that, Ms. Barbara, you know, the template, you, like I said, it's just really shocking. And then one of the things that I saw and I was mentioning, for those of you that have not heard, there is a YouTube video about a man that traveled to Europe. And they said they went 2,100 miles, and they were four of them, and they were large folks. They were not small folks. And they rode on a Volkswagen Passat. And he was so mad. And you could tell this is not a man that likes to do videos, because as soon as it was over, how can I turn this thing off? You know, let me get off of this. But you could tell he was determined that the world would know what he found out, which is they are manufacturing a vehicle that will get 78 miles per gallon. And he was riding in it in Europe, but when he asked to buy it here in the United States where it is made, they told him you could not buy it. And it was not, I'm not sure if he was the one that talked about it, but there were some comments that I read. It was not really regarding the EPA regs, which I'm sure that's part of it too, you know, the EPA regs. You know, it's got to not be as good enough. You know, it does not meet as good a standard as we have here. But one of the other things... to me was about the gas tax. You know, if you're only going to buy a gallon of gas once every 78 miles, just think of the gas tax that would be lost, the taxation that would be lost. And I think we need to be calling Martha Roby. And we need to have an uprising here, a revolution, to say, you know, we demand the truth. We are talking about if you really care for your brother, don't manage us that way as if we are just little children that you can control. A family that's hurting right now, a car that's priced reasonably, which I think the price wasn't that bad, 78 miles per gallon, that would mean so much to a family. That would mean so much to the trucking industry if that technology was made available too, right, Ms. Barbara? It's really a shame.
Well, that's right. And then, you know, what you're saying about, and this is absolutely right. It's where we live. It's we know people who are hurting and could benefit greatly from this. You know, going back in time, we see Henry Ford. And the automobile that he mass-produced with the idea, just what you said, Diana, just what you said. But here was one who was able to do this before the era of big government. And he was able to mass-produce because he wanted it to be available and available for purchase by every family in America. And so, you know, got the assembly line going, mass producing the Ford Model T, and it was very, very reasonable. And but just what you said, and that was how things have changed, you know, century later. They're trying to keep technology from us. Where we would benefit from it instead of promoting it.
And Ms. Barbara, you know, we know that what's wrong with the family is really mothers are not there anymore. They're having to work. Fathers are having to work sometimes two jobs, if they even have jobs. And what a boon this would be to the family, the finances of the family, if everything went down, because we know what the price of, you know, transporting it does. It lowers the prices of everything, food and all.
Everything. Everything. Food, clothing. Yeah.
Oh, what a beautiful thing to have the mothers not feel like they must work. I hear a lot of people say, or some, I shouldn't say a lot, some, that, you know, they're saying that, you know, well, the mother's job is in the home. And the mother's not there. And, like, you know, I don't think they're really saying it's the fault of the mother. But, you know, if at all possible, the mother needs to be at home. And I agree with that. And I think a lot of mothers agree with
that.
But I think the problem is economically, for one, a lot of fathers are absent. If a mother's not working, she'll be on welfare, which even when she works, a lot of times she's also drawing food stamps just to make it. But what a boon to that, you know, homes, income, to know that everything is lowered. You know, everything is made cheaper. There is some sanity back, Ms. Barbara. And when I say uprising, I'm not talking about pitchforks and whatever. I'm talking about, you know, let's ask our congressmen and women. Let's ask for a hearing, a committee hearing. Why is it that something like this is not available to us? What is in the way? And if so, let's remove the hurdle. Remove the hurdle. So, anyway,
I'm with you. Absolutely. And we need to address all these things. And yes, we do need to make our representatives in Congress aware of this, and that we're watching, and that we want answers, and we want changes. We want, you know, a big thing, a huge thing would be to scrap the EPA, you know, put a moratorium on the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah.
And get in some sensible guidelines, minimal minimal, not maximum, like they've got, you know, business. They've got business just tied up in knots, and businesses are closing daily in this country because of that, and an overbearing and an overreaching government, and many times through the EPA. You know, that would be huge, and you know, we do need to make our voices heard, and you know, the Tea Party has been a big part of that in recent years, and needs to be even bigger, a bigger part of it. You know,
Ms. Barbara, I think, you know, that's one of the things I'd love for the Tea Party to really address. I just about bet, not bet, I shouldn't say bet. I guess that everyone that hears about this simple thing, the Volkswagen Passat, would want to know from their Congress, why is that? And I think that needs to be a topic of conversation in Tea Party conferences, because that is a very clear indication that I think most everybody's mind can get a hold of that, wait a second, somebody's lying to me.
That's
somebody
right.
Somewhere is manipulating. And it's not right, and we've got to go the other way. We've got to go and move past that, because really, Ms. Barbara, that's the key, isn't it? Well, we can get rid of some of this corruption, and that's a very obvious sign that something is corrupt with a system when you want
yes.
to hold, you know, such a vehicle because you want more taxes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Caesar.
And,
I hear Caesar.
I remember when Bill Clinton was president, and he increased the taxes on gas, just incredibly increased those taxes on gas. And I remember, you know, it was a topic of conversation, not much, but around our area it was, and talking about how this would just increase the cost of everything we purchase. And indeed, that's exactly what's happened, and then even more so with the other changes that have taken place, along with that increase in taxes. But you know, it's like the cigarette industry, the tobacco industry. The taxes on tobacco are and tobacco usage are enormous, a lot more than what the product costs. And think about that. They have one arm of government, Human Health and Services, spending incredible amounts of money trying to get people to stop smoking, and yet the government is totally dependent upon the taxes from people who smoke and use tobacco products. You know, it's has to be one of the biggest collectors of tax money, the tobacco industry. And then you've got another, the agriculture agency. You've got them subsidizing tobacco growers. You know, it's just crazy. It's government's too big and too powerful and too crazy. Schizophrenic.
It is too crazy. But I think, Ms. Barbara, as you know, as you were talking about with that welfare, you know, it is really a fear of being able to trust the people to do what's best for them. It's like we have to control. The thought is we have to have control. And I think to myself, as you say, you know, it is not God's way, you know. Even God does not do that to us. He allows us to choose, you know. What an awesome God he is. But, you know, those that find their way to him, what a beautiful thing it is. When we finally find our way, you know, we are not easily taken aside anymore by the enemy, you know. When we find our
That's
way.
Right. That's and, right. And not easily is a key phrase there. We're not easily taken captive again by the enemy. We can be if we allow it, but God provides all the tools we need with his Holy Spirit and the way he equips us to operate on this earth as his people, the gifts that he bestows upon us, and the instruction that he gives us. You know, he provides everything that we need to walk with him and follow him and to be able to fulfill his plan for us on this earth. But, you know, before that, though, we have spiritual blinders on. We have blinders over our eyes, over our minds. Our minds are darkened. Our hearts are darkened. And we cannot understand God. We can't understand his word. Because we are not alive in Christ. And it's, the Bible says, in God's light, and Jesus said, I am the light. In God's light, we see light. We have understanding. But apart from him, we don't. You can have some knowledge of worldly things, but you won't have spiritual understanding, because that comes from knowledge of the holy. The Bible says knowledge of the holy is understanding. And so apart from him, you know, our minds, everything's darkened, and we don't have understanding. But with him, all things are possible. All things are possible.
And Ms. Barbara, I love what you said, knowledge of the holy is understanding, and that's why the enemy does not want our children to see the Ten Commandments on the walls of the schoolhouse. This is why they do not know a lot of the history that, you know, should be a part, as, you know, as required. Germany's learned their lessons. You know, they require the children to learn. But we have not learned our lessons. And, but I'm thanking God. I just really think, you know, we tie this, what can you do when you care? And I think, start asking questions. To yourself and then to others. And I just think about when I saw the 180, the movie, I can't quote it word for word, but Hitler says whoever owns the children, I think, owns the nation. And that is one of the things that we're fighting about, with something called common core standards. If all the children in this country have common standards, what is being taught to them is all the same, and it's coming out of Washington. And if you have leaders that have an agenda, it can easily take a generation away from God. And that's what we're seeing. You know, when we see that video, 180, the movie, and they do not even know who Hitler was, they're not being taught that. And I'm guessing there's a purpose why they're not being taught that, because those people want to own the future of this nation. But we ask that you, as a caring parent, grandmother, relative, will do what you can, because you care and you love your family. And it starts really, Ms. Barbara, with the same thing that the Founding Fathers did, I think, you know, which is they knew what God's Word said about the beginning of wisdom. It is about the awe and fear of the Lord. So for those that are listening, that, you know, you're very intellectual, you're so full of knowledge, you may have a master's degree in this and that. If you don't know about the Lord, wow, I think you're missing out. So why not find out and see and compare for yourself, right, Ms. Barbara? A lot of people, they just don't even want to see that side. But I think they need to see what the whole world has been talking about. What is it about this book that has lasted generations after generations, that the more they dig up, the more they back up what's in it?
That's right. And we used to know all that as a people, as a nation. We used to know all that, but that's no longer the case. And it has been kept from generations now here in our country. Going back in time, the Founding Fathers recognized that the Bible was to be the source of learning for our children. you know, and I'm not talking about going back to the 1600s with the old Deluder Act. I'm just going back to the time of the founding fathers with Washington and Jefferson and Adams and that generation. They authorized what was called the Northwest Ordinance of 1787, and that was a plan for the governing of what would become five states in the Northwest Territory, but it would also be the plan for admittance of any state that wanted to join the Union of the original 13 states. So in order to join the Union, you had to accept the ideals and the law of the Northwest Ordinance. Well, one section of that Northwest Ordinance dealt with education. And, in fact, in the townships, in the geographical makeup of the land, one section, number 16, was to be set aside for public education. And they outlined what was to be taught, and they said that religion, and by religion, they were referring to biblical Christianity. And Article 3 of the Northwest Ordinance states that religion, being necessary to good government, and the happiness of mankind, schools, that is public schools, and the means of education shall forever be encouraged in these townships and in these states that would become part of the United States of America. Now, they also said morality and knowledge goes religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind. Schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. And that was not only passed under the Articles of Confederation, but it was repassed under the first Congress, under the United States Constitution, with President George Washington signing it into law, and those very same standards that religion would be taught in the public schools. They knew that biblical Christianity, that the Bible, was the source of truth and knowledge, and without it, there would be no education. Let's go as fast forward from 1787 into the early 1800s. Thomas Jefferson was president of the United States of America, and during that time, from he took the oath in 1801, and he served two terms. So he was also at that time the chairman of the District of Columbia School Board, and responsible for education there in the District of Columbia. And as such, he authorized two books as being the source used for teaching reading for children in the public schools there. Reading and whatever else, literature, whatever else, but reading specifically. Those two books that Thomas Jefferson authorized for the teaching of students in public schools were, first of all, the Bible, and secondly, Isaac Watts' hymnal. Isaac Watts was, how can I describe him? He was a composer, the composer among composers. His hymns, I was actually playing them on the piano and singing them today, as a matter of fact, but they are filled with sound doctrine, and that's what Thomas Jefferson said, that Isaac Watts' hymnal is filled with sound Christian biblical doctrine that must be taught to our students in public schools. So, and this is, by the way, after the First Amendment was passed, and the Bill of Rights was passed. And so much for this idea of God, separating God from government, separation of church and state in the way it's being interpreted today, Diana.
And that is the greatest lie to me, Ms. Barbara. It's not, well, maybe I shouldn't say the greatest lie. That is one of the great lies in this nation.
Well, it's a biggie. It's a biggie.
Yeah.
It's huge. You're right.
It's a basis for everything. And I just think about this now, you know, this control, of course, if they can take that away from us, our very beginnings, we don't know where we're at. And that, unfortunately, that's what's happening with the children of today. That has been taken away from them.
You know, I told you about a quote, and the quote I shared today with one of my former students was by General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. He was a soul winner. Oh, what a soul winner he was. He loved the Lord and he loved people. He desired that none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. But anyway, he lived in the 1800s, in the 19th century. But he said this. He was looking ahead. He said, the chief danger of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell.
Oh.
General William Booth, and unfortunately he was right. That was the danger, and that is what took place. And now we're reaping the fruit of all that was sown in the 20th century. Here we are in the 21st, and we see how dramatically our culture has changed and our country has changed as a result of that.
How fitting that you mentioned that, Ms. Barbara, you know, when we titled this, What Can You Do When You Care? Because he pretty much outlined it, you know. He warned us, and this was a man. You know, we think of Salvation Army, wow, with the awesome things that has been done through the Salvation Army. But he's right. We cannot remove ourselves from God. And that's what, unfortunately, the enemy wants to do. He wants us alone, just like, you know, the wolf that wants to catch the lamb by itself. But we thank God we have a God that looks even for that even though the 99 is safe, he's looking for that last one, right, Ms. Barbara?
Oh, he is. He is. He is searching. He is searching and desiring to bring them safely home into his arms, and will you lead us in prayer, Diana, and close us out?
Sure will, Ms. Barbara. Lord, Heavenly Father, what a great, merciful God you are. You are full of grace, and Lord, I just thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet. I thank you for Ms. Barbara and how you have hidden these truths throughout history, and Lord, at a moment's notice, she just, Lord, it comes like it flows out of her, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, about the words, Lord, Heavenly Father, this great man, the Salvation Army, what they mean to the world, Lord, Heavenly Father. He knew the truth. Without you, Lord, what we do is nothing. When we pretend to care, yet you're not in it, that's all it is. It's a pretend. It will fall off. So, Heavenly Father, I just pray for those that are trying to find truth, Lord, that they would find you, and that you will open your eyes, Lord, because we are blind without you, and we will stumble in the dark. And, Lord, our children, Lord, they know not which way to go, Lord. They're being raised in schools where, Lord, every memory of your foundation is being wiped off, and they treat one another like a dog against another dog, not realizing how wonderfully created they are, how valuable they are, Lord, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray for a great awakening. We pray that those who say they love others will see the truth Heavenly Father, we pray that they will see that there is a hole in them that also needs to be filled up first before they can truly serve others and truly love. Because Heavenly Father, just like a man that is sick, if we do not share the cure, Lord, we are not. So, Lord, we reach out to those that are listening and ask, Lord, Heavenly Father, that they would find you, that they would find that cure to whatever is wrong with them, Lord, because it's only through Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, that we are saved. And Lord, we don't want to be seen as close, but really, Lord, the truth is the truth. And you have opened the door wide. You opened it up so wide that you even allowed your Son to be given as a sacrifice, Lord, so that failure of sin will be removed. His blood paid the price, Heavenly Father. But for those that says we do not see, Lord, they are so wrong. I just, that you would speak to them, that they would recognize that, yes, they are loved by an amazing God who created them. He thinks they are worthy for his Son to die on the cross for this. Lord, we just thank you and we pray that, Lord, you would give us new beginnings, new insights on how to show people that we do care. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to just follow after you, to love you more each day with all our heart, mind, and strength, Lord, Heavenly Father. Let us follow after you and love you. We thank you, Lord, and we ask for your mighty help upon the listeners who are struggling, Heavenly Father. We ask that you would allow the Holy Spirit to woo them, Lord, Heavenly Father, and show them your magnificent love for them. We thank you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Miss Barbara, I give it to you to close, if you don't mind.
Oh, thank you. Hey, Diana, who's on tomorrow? Do we
thank you, Miss Barbara. Yes, John Bernard, who is our war on terror expert, is going to be on.
Is.
We thank God for what he shares about our military and what they're fighting. And on Wednesday, we have Ben Dupre. He's going to be kind enough to come on, Miss Barbara, and talk to us some more about 180, the movie. And Thursday, Grace Marie Turner, you know, we just really need to get to know more about Obamacare and have our little talking points on that issue.
Yes.
And then Friday, Don Simmons, that life issue, that very important life issue, he will be on with us on Friday. And I want to go ahead and tell everybody this, too. Next Monday is our friend Luca Bocci, Tea Party the World, and Neil Mammon, I'm hoping, will be on. So it's going to be, amazing.
Well, it is an amazing lineup, for sure, and I'm looking forward to it. Well, listeners, we're so grateful you've been with us today and are here learning alongside of us. There's much to learn, and God has given us this time and this opportunity, and we desire to be more fruitful in our labor with the Lord, to be more fruitful and to accomplish more and more for him and for his glory. So thank you for listening, and we pray that you would share this podcast and the many other podcasts that are so informative and inspiring. And listening to them and learning from them will help us to be more confident as we move forward and be more involved in the public life of our country. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. And may God bless America. Thank you. Bye-bye.